G'day, I am Mordechai Becher.
And I'm Yehoshua Kirsch.
And welcome to Two Rabbis and a podcast. We thought, I guess inspired somewhat by the Torah reading this past Shabbat, we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments. Not the movie, the book. Aseres Hadibrois, which actually in Hebrew is not Ten Commandments, it's actually Ten Statements. But just for ease of speech and just not to get tongue-tied, I think I'd prefer to call it Ten Commandments.
Me too. I saw a couple of years ago that it was an editorial choice of the Art Scrolls Schottenstein Chumash, that in the, you know how they sometimes put the subject heading or something like that alongside in a margin. They said Ten Commandments. I noticed it. I thought about it. I guess they're having the same thought you were, which is,
well, you know what? It's good to agree with them because they are experts. They're good. They're good at what they do.
Did we ever talk about why in Hebrew we say Aseres Hadibros when in the Torah it says Aseres Hadvarim? Why it went to deep rote as opposed to Dvarim?
I don't know. That's a great question.
Also, as long as we're talking about that, you have the switch where if somebody is colloquially saying they're going for two Shabboses somewhere, they say, I'm going for two Shabbosim.
Which is wrong.
Right.
Shabbatot.
Now here, I'm certain it's not wrong because...
No, Rashi already says
right.
it. Rashi.
Yeah.
He
right.
says, Aseret shlosh, sheish me'ot v'shlosh esrei. That's what Rashi quotes Rav Sa'ajagon.
Yeah.
And says that the 613 commandments, Bichlal Aseret HaDibrot Hain, are included in these 10 Dibrot. So, okay.
Could it be a Hebrew Aramaic thing?
I don't know. The Gemara also calls it that. Gemara also calls it Koren Aseret HaDibrot, which is actually what I wanted to start talking about was the...
Let's start with that.
Okay, the Gemara in Brachos 12b, 12a, says that, in the Beit HaMikdash, in the temple, they used to say every day the Aseres HaDibrois, the Ten Commandments, and the Shema publicly, and then the Avoda, and then Birchas Kahanim. So Rav Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, he says they wanted to do this outside the Beit HaMikdash as well, meaning that to at every day during davening, to read the Aseres HaDibrois, the Ten Commandments. But he says, Bitluham, bitlum, mipnei tarumas haminim. They annulled it because of the mistakes or the complaints or the distortions of the minim, the heretics. So Rashi, in the unexpurgated version,
Christians.
Says that refers to Talmidei Yeshu, the early Christians. Apparently, the early Christians said, these are the only commandments that are binding. These are the only ones that are really, these are the major commandments. The rest of them, don't worry about. And so if we would say it publicly every day as part of davening, part of our prayers, this would just play into the hands of the of this distortion.
My understanding is that often when it says min, it's almost like an assumption you should make that it is talking about Christians. It could not, it could be it's broader, but that throughout Shas, when it refers to minim, that first assumption would be they're talking about Christians.
I think that's correct. There's a little book which I have called Chesroinus Hashas, which means things left out of the Talmud, which basically has all the censors, all the stuff that was censored out. Now a lot of editions have put it in. I don't know. Art Scroll, I think, does as well. I'm pretty sure. I don't know.
Steinsaltz for sure does.
Steinsaltz.
And I think the Masifta for sure does.
Yeah.
Should
so,
I say for
so
sure?
In most of the cases, I just like flicking through that. Yeah, minim usually turns out to be the early Christians. And here it does fit. You know, they had this idea that you're not all the ritual commandments, not obligatory, the sacramental commandments.
Right.
Okay. So now because of that, we don't say it publicly Although it's type of interesting, the Yerushalmi also says a similar idea, that the Aseret HaDibros is supposed to be part of the Shema, but they didn't do it because of the Minim, and there it says it very explicitly. Shaloyuhu Omrim, they shouldn't say Elul Levadam Nitnu Masinai. These were the only things given on Sinai. It's just slightly different, right? In other
Right,
words, not
that's
saying that
similar.
these are the only ones obligatory, but these are the only
Right.
ones given on Sinai. Now, it's interesting, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Code of Jewish Law, number one says it's good to say every morning the Akedah, the binding of Isaac, Man, Parshas Haman, and Aseret HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, right? So Shulchan Aruch says. But he adds, the Ramo adds, that Dafke beYochid, you should only say the Ten Commandments as an individual privately. Aval Osir laOmram betzibur, it is prohibited to say them publicly in the community. Quoting
Where
from the
would
Tshuva
you,
HaRashba.
if it was part of the Shema, would it, where would it have gone?
I think, according to the Gemara, seems to say that there would have been, what does the Gemara say? It says Shema Vayayim Shamoah. Oh, it says no, Aseret HaDibros, Ten Commandments, followed by Shema, followed by Vayayim Shamoah, followed by Emes V'Yatziv. That's what they did in the temple, in the Beis HaMikdash. As far
Nice.
as an individual, it's hard to know when you
Right.
do it,
But it sounds
but
like after for the
yeah.
individual, because Tefillah Samon, that's those things you tend to do after.
Right. So what we're worried about is people thinking that these were the only ones given on Sinai, or these are the only ones that are significant, and all the rest are not. Now, based on that, the Magen Avraham on Shulchan Aruch says that because of that, it's prohibited to write a specific kuntros, like a pamphlet or something like that, which has only got Aseret HaDibros. You can't
Which
do it.
sounds like somebody might have been thinking of doing that.
Well, in Birchas Aaron, Rav Aaron Levine, early 20th century, he writes, based on this Magen Avraham, I'm shocked because there are shuls all over the world run by good, faithful rabbonim, great Torah scholars, and virtually all of them above the Aron Kodesh have a plaque with the Aseret HaDibros.
But do they have it? Usually it's just like Anochi or something like
Okay,
that
but
on
that
it.
it's
You
why
think
should that
that,
make it
even
better?
that? This is just like it's meant to hint to it.
He says even though the Luchos only have the Hatchala of each one of the Aseret HaDibros, he says, but if we're worried about people saying this is the only thing from Sinai, well, the fact that you've only got the first two words, who cares? It's still going to lead. It's
It
still going
looks
to.
like it, and it's right on top of the arm.
Exactly. He says, I just don't get it. I don't
What if
get
you
it.
have them squared?
Even so, he says, I don't get. Well, first of all, squared's interesting. I remember Rav Moshe Shapiro talking about this once.
I brought
Yeah,
it up because of that.
that's why you brought it up.
Yes.
Because the Gemara in Bava Basra, and I think most of the Mefarshim, understand that the Luchos were square.
Yes.
Whereas in shuls all over the world, I've seen
There.
shuls in many countries, like
Only Chabad. The only
30,
place I've ever
32
seen them
countries.
squared
Right.
is
They're
Chabad.
always rounded. So Rav Moshe Shapiro felt, he once said that he thinks, I mean, and the question, yeah, and look, I mean, I remember hearing from Professor Fine, I think it is, at YU, who pointed out that he thinks that the rounded tops came from Renaissance artists who wanted to depict that. That because if it was all square, it wouldn't be clear that it's two separate tablets. So by making it rounded, it became very obvious and clear that there's two separate tablets.
But I remember Ramosha talking about the rounding. He felt the rounding is significant.
Oh, it is. I'm just
Yes.
saying that the professor was saying that's the origin. But the question Rav Moshe asked is, and he doesn't have to disagree with that, is saying, okay, fine, let's say that's the origin. Rabbis all over the world say, okay, they tell the carpenter, look and make him square like the Gemara. And he says, well, and he says, it's not going to be obvious there too. Or the feng shui guy comes in and says, we want the dragons not to be obstructed by square shapes. We want the rounded shapes. Right. The interior designer says, oh, the round is much better. And all rabbis, Ashkenaz, Sfarad, Hasidish, Litvish, right,
Except
Western
for
Europe,
Chabad.
Israel, all say, excellent, do it. Forget the Gemara. Very strange. So Rav Moshe Shapiro said that sit in as much as it says in Mishlei, Kasveim Aluach Libecha, write the words of Torah on the tablets of your heart. And he says the rounded shape on the top is supposed to be reminiscent of the chambers of the heart. And he says, where is the Torah supposed to be inscribed? Not only on stone or on parchment, that's the written Torah, but where is the Torah meant to be inscribed? On the hearts of Klal Yisrael, the hearts of the Jewish people, hence the rounded tops. The rabbis didn't object because ideologically it is a very beautiful remez and hint to that idea.
Beautiful.
Which I happen to, I think is such a beautiful explanation, right? And it type of reminds me of something which the Beis HaLevi said. That he said once, there's a medrash that says once the tablets were broken, the first tablets had the whole Torah. How that works, I don't know. The second tablets only had the written Torah, and then most of the Torah became oral. Torah b'Sheba'al Peh, the oral Torah. So Beis Levi says, don't think that's a lower level of sanctity. Had the Torah all been written down, the Jews would have been like the ark in which the Torah is placed. One thing is the ark, and the Torah is contained within it. He says, now that most of the Torah is oral, the Jews are no longer like the ark in which the Torah is placed. We are like the parchment upon which the Torah is written.
Nice.
It is written on the
Nice.
Jewish people. So that's a much higher
Nice.
level of sanctity. And I think it's so beautiful. And it dovetails beautifully with Rav Moshe's understanding of why shuls are tolerant towards the rounded tops.
Nice.
I like that.
Beautiful. There's a Medrash Tanhuma in Parshas Noach that Rav Moshe one time said, I don't know why this is in Parshas Noach, but I'm assuming it's because that was the beginning of the new Zman for learning, but it was all about Torah Sheba'al Peh.
Yes.
And it suggests maybe something that could go along with that distinction that the Beis HaLevi was saying, which is that when they said Nasa v'Nishma, it was about Torah Shebiksav. And then, when Hashem had to be kof aleihem har kegigis, when he had to lift a mountain over them and force them, because the question is, Tosfos's question is, why does Hashem have to lift a mountain over them? They already said Nasa v'Nishma.
Jews already acquiesced.
Right. So Tosfos says that it was because they became afraid during the, and I remember Rav Moshe showed us that in Va'eschanon, it actually shows them switching the order back. They switch it to Nishma Vanasa while the fire's going, you know, when they're complaining like
Oh,
in Parshas Yisro.
like Tosfos. Sounds like Tosfos.
Right. But there it suggests that that really the Torah Sheba'al Peh is the Iker Torah in our relationship with Torah. And something to this effect that this is only, I don't know if it actually says this in the Medrash or it was just something that you think about after that Medrash, but that they took Torah Shebiksav from us, but they can't take Torah Sheba'al Peh from us. Because where is Torah Sheba'al Peh? It's in us. Torah Shebiksav is somebody could take a Torah and then publish it and do whatever they want, but Torah Sheba'al Peh is in us, we imbibe
Well,
it.
I think the Beis HaLevi quotes a Medrash Rabbah that says that the reason most of the Torah became oral after the sin was because it was decreed that we would be in exile amongst the nations. And as a security mechanism, Hashem did not want it all to be written down. right? Because that's not secure. If
Right.
it's in your head, that
Right.
makes a much. So if
It's nice.
you look at the written Torah, the skid marks all over it. They
Yes.
stole it, plagiarized, distorted, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
They didn't do that. So, yeah, I remember being in University College in London. Once I spoke there, and that was founded by Jeremy Bentham, great
A
philosopher,
philosopher,
300 years or so ago. Who the so the chaplain who brought me into the college, he said, first of all, he said, "Would you like to see Jeremy Bentham?" I
oh,
said,
no way.
"Didn't he die a couple of hundred years, a few hundred years ago?" He said, "Yes, but in his last will and testament, he asked that his body should be in the college." So I said, "I'm interested." So,
Yeah.
in one of the
Being a
front
Levi and not
lobbies,
a Cohen, that
one of the
was,
front lobbies, there
yeah.
is a box, a large box, with a glass front. The embalmed body of Jeremy Bentham
Is he standing?
is, no, he's sitting on his favorite chair. And apparently the head is wax. The actual head is apparently in a safe. He's there, and his will is there, is written there. In any case,
He was utilitarianism, I
that
think.
is correct,
There you
100%,
go.
yes.
How do you like
So
that?
anyway, he took me into this room, which is where the religion type of religious meetings took place, and there's posters on the wall. So one of the posters was the Ten Commandments of Judaism. Another poster was 8 paths to Nirvana, the 5 pillars of Islam, the 3 great principles of Christianity.
Well,
So
there you go.
I
There you
said to
go.
him, "There's a few mistakes here." He said, "I beg your pardon." So I said, "Well, first of all, it says you've got here 10 commandments of Judaism." I said, "We have 613, so we should probably get a little more wall space than that." And he
Nice.
said, he
Nice.
knew I was joking there. I wasn't joking.
Yeah,
Anyway,
of course.
but then
Yeah.
I said, "Secondly, one of the principles of Christianity you have written here is love your neighbor as yourself." I said, "That is actually from Leviticus 19, from the Jewish Torah." He says, "Well, actually, it's in Matthew 6." I said, "Matthew misquotes it. In Matthew, it says, 'You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I tell you to love your enemy.'" Now, it does not say in the Torah, love your neighbor and hate your enemy.
It
It
does
says,
not.
love your neighbor as yourself. I am God.
Yes.
So anyway, that's a, but that is what has happened to our Torah. It's been
I
destroyed,
heard an interview.
stolen, stolen.
There was an interview, I think it was Fresh Air, one of interview shows. So they were interviewing a Christian theologian who was talking about how even many of her peers are ignorant about the Bible. And that was one example. She said that there was somebody who was presenting and who said that I think the two most important phrases in the Bible, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. The one from the Old Testament is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then from the New Testament, "Love your neighbor as yourself." So the woman said, she said, "Now I couldn't say, what am I going to do? I can't go up to her and say those are both from the Old Testament." So she acknowledged, at least, that woman, that Christian theologian.
The fact
Yeah.
is that many, many Christians only know our Torah from how it's
Yes.
quoted in the
They weren't
Christian
supposed to
scriptures.
study it. They
That's
weren't
right.
even supposed to study it.
That's
Yeah.
right. It reminds me, Lahavdil, to distinguish
Yeah.
between the holy and the profane. But
Yeah.
Moshe Shapiro once quoted something in Posuk in Tanakh, something in the prophets. And one guy said, "What? Where? Never." He, one of the guys in the class had never even heard of the name of the book of the prophets, let alone the Pasuk. And he's looking like, so Ramosha Shapiro said, he says, "There are many yeshiva students who only know that a Pasuk exists because it's quoted in the Gemara that is brought by the Ketzos. The Ketzos quotes a Gemara, he may look up the Gemara and the Gemara quotes a Pasuk." So it's actually a Pasuk in the Ketzos. For those who do not know, Ketzos HaChoshen is a, what is it, 19th century commentary,
Yes.
19th commentary on the
End of
Code of
19th
Jewish
century.
Law, on
Yeah.
the financial section, right? In depth, beautiful, amazing commentary.
Very
But yeah,
beautiful
that's, yes.
commentary. Very
Anyway,
beautiful. Yeah.
so we digress as usual.
Yes, of
So
course. But we're back to our main subject.
that's right. So Rav Aaron Levine says he has no understand. He doesn't know how they do it. He says, Gedolei Yisrael, great rabbis, did not bother them. He says, it must be that there's nothing wrong with it. So I don't get it. How the Magen Avraham, I don't get it. The other famous debate regarding this, of course, is standing up. Do you stand up as the
What did your shul do?
Almost universal custom. Well, this Shabbos I was in Philadelphia and everyone stood up.
But do they start up at the beginning of the Aliyah, or
yes,
do they
they
start
do.
at the beginning of the Aseres Hadibros?
Yeah. So there's a responsum of the Rambam, Maimonides, who was asked about this, standing up at the time of reading the Ten Commandments. And this fellow asked him, look, there are people who are upset about it. There are people, and he says, he quotes the Gemara we discussed, and he says, maybe it's inappropriate because it seems to be playing into the hands of those who say this is more important. And the Rambam famously says, you should not stand up for this. You should not stand up. And the guy said, well, in Babylon, the great academies in Babylon, they did it. He says, maybe they did it there because the person who was given the honor to be called up for that usually was the Rosh Yeshiva or the Exilarch. And so
they
would
had to
stand up
stand
in
for him
his honor.
anyways.
So the Rambam says, he says, I don't like that proof. And he says, on the contrary, he says, if you tell me that, well, look, there's also sick people over there. He says, on the contrary, we should not also become sick. We should cure of them and us. So he was somewhat against it. And in his his eighth principle of faith, the Rambam says that the whole Torah is from Hashem. That's the principle. The entire Torah is from God, directly from God. And he right there he says in his commentary on the Mishnah, he says there is no difference to us between Bnei Cham, the children of Cham, were Cush and Mitzrayim. The name of his wife was Mehatvael. Timna was the concubine
of Esav.
Of Esav. He says, no difference between those verses and the verse, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, took you out of Egypt. Shema
Nice.
Yisrael,
Nice.
Hear, O Israel. He says, Ki akol mipi agvura, everything's from God. Va'akol Torah Hashem Tamima, Tahora Ukadosha, it is all the
Beautiful.
complete perfect Torah of Hashem. And I believe there are many Sephardim who actually say that phrase after each Aliyah. Torah Hashem Tamima Kadosh, Tamima Tahora Kadosha Emet.
I'm going to pay attention the next time I'm in a Sephardi show.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing that. But in any case, so it's pretty clear from the Rambam you should not stand up. So but on the other hand, people do that. It's very common. So yeah, I you know, so someone asked, actually, Rav David Feinstein,
yeah,
asked his father, Rav Moshe
yeah,
Feinstein, about
yeah,
this.
yeah.
So Rav Moshe said, first of all, you're extrapolating a prohibition from another prohibition. The Gemara says we stop doing public reading of the Ten Commandments as part of our prayers because of Taruma Saminim, because of the early Christians.
It doesn't say anything about showing
does not
others.
say anything. He says, if we stand up because the Jews stood at Sinai, they stood at Mount Sinai and shook with fear, and that's why we stand up. He says, you can't extrapolate that that's prohibited because of the, you know, you're taking it a little too far, right?
Right.
Ein lechabo, ein lechidusha, so to speak. What you've got, what is said, is what's prohibited. Beyond that, you
right.
can't. And he says the fact that communities around the world do this, and this is the custom, he says, I don't see any problem.
So, would you assume then that in various Sephardic communities, or at least Temani, because they seem to adhere very strongly to the Rambam, that they would not stand?
You know what? I have a neighbor who's across the road. I was going to look out the window and see if he's out there.
Okay.
But I'm
we'll
not
shout
going
to him.
to yeah, shout over there, right?
Yeah.
But I
okay.
have to ask him if the Yemenites do this. It's type of an
okay.
interesting question because they tend to be Rambam loyalists on
yes.
the whole. Although not all of them, but yeah. Right. Yeah. There are others who also discuss this. Oh, by the way, There is a Shaya Shuva's Beis Mordechai, Reb Mordechai Fogelman, who was the rabbi of Katowice in Europe and later on Kiryat Motzkin in Israel, passed
Nice.
away in 1984. He has a discussion about this. One thing I just noticed is he says exactly what you said, that virtually everywhere it says minim,
Cool.
in the
Yeah,
Gemara, it
interesting.
refers to Hanotzrim Harishonim, the early Christians,
Nice.
who were
I mean,
fighting
nice, but
against the halacha, Jewish law, and the obligation of the commandments. And he says that's why they annulled saying it publicly in that way. So he discusses this as well. And he says, I think, he said, that the problem of reading the Ten Commandments every day publicly is only when you do it together with the Shema. Because
Oh, interesting.
it's as if it's almost like the acceptance of the yoke of heaven and the commandments only refers to these 10, not the other 603. Type of
Nice.
interesting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
Nice.
that's his view.
Nice.
He starts talking about the fact that even though the Rambam was very much against standing up, he said, he quotes the Rambam, and
we have a custom, our shul does this, and I know many shuls do this, where they announce before the Aliyah that Aseres HaDibros is going to be during this Aliyah, and therefore we're going to stand from the beginning of the Aliyah, so it doesn't look like we're just standing for the Aseres HaDibros. But the very announcement then calls attention to the fact that we are actually standing for the Aseres HaDibros. So it would be a deaf person in shul who would suggest afterwards it wasn't necessarily because of the Aseres HaDibros.
Well, some say, because if the only thing we ever stood for was Aseres HaDibros, it would be a problem. But we stand up for other things as well.
Yes.
Shir HaSayam, the song with
that's
the
true.
Red Sea.
Yeah.
Right? We stand for that. Right? Why? Right, so you know, there are things where it's okay to stand. So, but he says it's interesting. There appears to be even to this day a major a machloket, an argument about it. Reb Moshe Feinstein says that that's the almost universal custom to stand, and you should stand. The Chidah felt that the entire community should not stand. He says if some people stand and some people don't, that's great. If everyone's standing, that's not good. Is it, you know,
because
it's
then
interesting.
it looks like you're not showing kavod. Because
He
these
says
guys
no.
are standing to show kavod. The people are sitting.
So he says that actually makes it better. Since some people are sitting, then it's clear that we're not giving special status to this.
Oh, I thought it makes
That's
the
how he
people who
looks.
are sitting
Yeah.
look like they don't have kavod because they're sitting when other people are showing kavod. By the way, this thing, I was just thinking, and maybe you meant that, but when we were talking about displaying the Aseres HaDibros above the Aron Kodesh, so this explanation you gave from Rav Moshe Feinstein would be useful for that, because Rav Moshe is saying you're extrapolating. They just didn't read it. They didn't read it. They didn't publicly read it or say it. But now to say that there's a problem displaying it, that would be extrapolating from this thing. I mean, you have what they said. They said not to read it. They didn't say not to display it.
Right. Well, although the Magen Avraham says it, but it's interesting. This rabbi, Beis Mordechai, he says that in ancient synagogues, all over Israel and North Africa, etc., you don't find in the ancient synagogues the Ten Commandments. You find menorah, Aron Kodesh, lulav, etrog, shofar.
If you're in Sfat, you find the zodiac.
But nothing in the ancient ones, they actually don't have the Aseres HaDibros. He feels that that was the earliest he thinks there is, was maybe from the, I don't know, hard to know. But
yeah.
Anyway, the Shomronim, the Samaritans, put the Ten Commandments on their doorposts
Really?
As a form of a mezuzah.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, he quotes numerous articles just about this idea. Yeah. But anyway, so one idea is, and this is type of interesting, the fact is that we do treat them specially, and in the Beit
Yes.
HaMikdash they did say it out loud. So obviously
Yeah.
there is something special about these 10. So
Yes.
the obvious idea is that they are that's the that was the revelation. The Jews heard the first two direct from Hashem, so not the total revelation, but there, that event, it
Yeah.
symbolizes that event. But the
And
other
for some,
thing,
yeah, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
the other point was what Rashi mentions from Rav Saadia Gaon, and also the Ramban. Rav Saadia Gaon has something called the Azharot, in which he shows the derivation of all 613 commandments from these 10. The Ramban has a book called Taryag Mitzvot Hayotzot Ma'aseret HaDibrot, the 613 commandments that come from the 10.
Is that in Kol Kisvei HaRamban?
Yeah, it's in
Okay.
Chevelle's
Cool.
collected writings. Yeah.
Cool.
So, and there's different views of how you. I have here like a chart. So you got Rav Saadia Gaon of the Ramban. There's also the Ra'avan, and also the Abarbanel. And they all have slightly different ways in which they show how all the commandments are included under those. So, like those 10, I think I heard Rabbi Foreman, David Foreman, our good mutual
Yeah.
friend, the way he described it is they're type of like the table of contents of the Torah. What's the table of contents of a book? You open it up and you say, okay, so the table of contents of the Torah is these 10.
Yes, sir.
And therefore, it may, they're like the chapter headings of what all the other things will. So Shabbat is sanctity of time and place,
Right.
all the festivals.
Yeah.
Now, honor of parents is everything to do with respect for authority, human and divine. You got don't murder, which is all about punishments, torts, damages, injuries, right? Don't commit adultery is all of sexual ethics. Don't steal is all of financial law and all of business ethics. Don't speak falsely is all the laws of speech, truth, falsehood, so on and so forth. You know, idol worship, that's huge amount of the Torah, pagan customs, heretical thoughts, impurity, ways of the pagans. I am God. Well, that's awareness of God, love of God, knowledge of God, the various precepts of faith and of belief, divine providence, and so on and so forth. What were the others? There was don't testify. Yeah. Oh, the last one, don't covet, is the control of physical desires, all commandments that are involved with that. Social justice, division of property, character traits. So
Nice.
that's how they divide them up, and it's type of interesting to interesting to go through that. Might be an idea someone to do on Shavuos night.
Yes, the entire Shavuos
Actually,
night.
if I remember
It
correctly,
actually, you
we
need
would
2 days. That's why they have
Azchoros,
two
I think, were
days.
written. Yeah.
I think it's why Shavuos is 2 days, because that's how long it's going to take to go through every one of the 613 mitzvahs and show how it comes from that place.
Or you could go to the Southern Hemisphere,
Why
where
does it make it?
Shavuos, well, Shavuos, I once was
Oh,
in South Africa for Shavuot
yeah.
to speak during the night. I ended up speaking 7 hours overnight
Oh, because
because
it's a longer
it
night.
is the summer.
Oh, no.
Sorry,
So
it's
that
the
should be,
winter.
yeah,
It's
so
the
winter.
winter.
Yeah,
The
so it's a
winter.
long
So you
night.
finish your meal at like 7.
Yeah.
Dawn is not till like 7 in the morning. It's not like you've got like a solid 10, 11 hours, right? It was, I
Yeah.
didn't, I lived in the Southern Hemisphere, but when I lived in Australia, I didn't do the whole Shavuos thing at night,
Stay up all night.
right? So I went to South Africa for this. I'd like, whoa, they gave me the schedule. Like it was daunting, but
That's awesome.
it's a nice long night. Here, you maybe can squeeze in 4 hours. From the time you finish supper, dinner, until the f time you have to get ready for Vasikin, it's like 3.5 hours, 4 hours.
I remember in Eretz Yisrael, like when we were Bochurim, you also went to the mikvah Shavuos morning, and then you walked to the kotel. A lot of people walk to the koto.
You have like
So
3 hours
then you
left.
learn for like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
There's like 6 or 7 minutes of learning. Then you had to go to the mikveh. Then you had to walk to the koisel. You had to get a good spot.
I remember Rishon Shwadron's description of Musar Seder in the yeshiva, where we take off half an hour, learn ethics. He says, first of all, he says, see, you're learning, you're in the middle of doing some Gemara. See, okay, just let me just finish this Tosfos. So it's already 6:05. So you close the Gemara, then you go to the bathroom, then you have to look for your hat and jacket. They're all black. Where's my hat and jacket? He says, now it's 6:10, 6:13. Then you, of course, wash. Then you go to the shelf and find where's the Masil Shesharim. You look for the book. If you remember which book you were learning yesterday, now it's 6:15. Then you got to flick through for a while. Where were we up to? Your Chavrusa is where is he? Right. Then you finally flick it. We finally figure out, oh, I think we were up to here. Right. Now it's 6:20.
Then you have to prepare
Says
for Myra.
Ariv is 6:30. So you need to wash. You need to find a sitter. You need to put away the Masil Shesharim. You just let Musa, you have to put away the book. Right. It's not right. He says, so basically, Musa Seder is 5 minutes. That was the best description ever. I should mention that we just heard this last week, Rav Shmaryahu Meltzer, Alav Shalom, one of our Rebbeim, passed away at the, in his 80s, late 80s, I think he was. One thing I remember from him very distinctly is right before Bein HaZman, it was the first summer vacation we had when I was in yeshiva, and it's called Bein HaZmanim, between the semesters. So he walked into shiur to class. It was the last one, I think, before. And I don't know, on my mind, I'm thinking about Eilat or Tveria, Tiberias or Eilat, or that's what's in my mind. And Rav Meltzer comes in and says, I love Bein HaZmanim, which was shocking to me because he was such a masmid. He learned every second, right? For him to say he loves Bein HaZmanim, I was like saying I love lobster. It was like shocking. And he says, I love Bein HaZmanim. He says, I can learn any masechta that I want. That type of blew me away. I remember he can learn, he doesn't have to learn the tractate that the yeshiva is teaching. He can like literally learn anything he wants. Right. And I'm
Because you
thinking,
brought up Rebbe Meltzer,
yes.
I would just say it's parenthetical because it's not whatever. So there was a period of time when Mishkan HaTorah first started that I actually learned with him every night in his apartment.
I
We
was not
learned
aware of that. Wow.
Klayim. We learned Mishnayis Klayim. And he told me about his father. His father was a butcher slash shochet in Minneapolis. And he said that he'd always see his father with a sefer, but it just looked like somebody else was reading a book. He's learning. But after his father died, he found typed chidushim on all of Shas from his father.
Wow.
And they found notebooks. He showed these to me. He found notebooks when he was a bacher in Europe, his father. He would go, let's say, from Chaim Soloveitchik to a shir, and he has notes from the shir that he went to. He went to all these different Rosh Yeshiva that, were the greatest Rosh Yeshiva in Europe, and he had his notes. So he'd said that one time he got smicha from HTC in Chicago, Rem Meltzer, and
Skokie,
he
for those who don't
is
know.
Skokie Yeshiva, and he returned home to Minneapolis, and his father comes home with something wrapped in butcher paper, and he plops it down on the table, unfolds it in front of him, and says, "Kosher or treif?" And Rem Meltzer said, "I looked at it, and I had no idea what it was." And his
Remember him
father
saying
knew
that.
that was, yeah. And his father said to him, his father saw, he knew he doesn't know anything about them. So he said, "You want to know what that is?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "It's the stomach." It's so Rem Meltzer always referred to that as the Heilige Kurkuban, the holy stomach. And that was an important lesson. Anyways, because you mentioned Meltzer,
No.
and we should, he was really impactful on
Yeah.
our lives. And
Yeah. Yeah.
yeah, Yehei Zichro Baruch.
I mean, yes. Okay, I think I'm going to call it a
Well, give it one more thing. I would just
one
because
more
we
thing,
talked about
please.
this before,
Oh yeah, I forgot.
which is the last couple of years when I'm thinking about the opening line of the Aseret Dibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Mibeis Avadim.
I am
I'm the
God.
Lord your God, took you out of Egypt, out of a house of bondage. So if, when you just step back a little bit and pay attention to it, even, I mean, just on the surface, it's clear that this is Hashem introducing himself to us as a people. He's saying, I am, and he says the four-letter name, I am, and that is the name that he used. That's the name, a version of the name that he told Moshe when at the Sinai, when Moshe said, what name should I tell him? This is, you know, he's telling us his name. This would be lahavdil, like if any of us were introducing ourselves to somebody, we would first say our name. We might even say, you know, what we do. Hashem says, I took you out of Mitzrayim, based on Avadim. And then we, is it Rabbi Yochanan who says that Ona Nafshi Kosvis Yehovis?
I
That
don't remember who it
right,
is.
it's in the
Yeah.
Gemara. It's in the Gemara where, and Rav Moshe had mentioned on several occasions that the that Hashem, even in Anochi, in where you're saying I in Anochi, it is sort of hinted in the letters that Hashem is he's giving himself over to us. He's giving himself over to us. He's introducing.
Your God, so to speak.
Yes, yeah, he's introducing himself to us. And then he, it seems like the Aseret Dibros and the rest of the Torah are how we're going to meet him. In other words, this is who I am, and you're going to do this, and this is how we're going to have a relationship. Even in Vayeschanan, when it refers to Dvekas, like, I don't know, but before the Aseret Dibros in Vayeschanan, the earlier it says you're doing the mitzvahs and you're going to, and because you did the mitzvahs you live, because you did the mitzvahs you live, and then it said Vatem hadvekim b'Hashem Elokeichem chayim kol chem hayom. So it sounds like even there that how do you achieve? I know there's other explanations on how you achieve dvekas, but it sounds like from the shot in Vayeschanan that the way you achieve cleaving to Hashem is following the mitzvahs, Torah mitzvahs. So Hashem is introducing himself to us, and then with the Aseret Dibros, he's providing for us the way we connect, the way we connect to him. So, and then it struck me that when the Rambam, because the Rambam says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, that line is the mitzvah to know Hashem. And so it makes perfect sense in the context of a relationship that that you should both be wanting to know each other. I mean, that's what happens when you have a relationship with somebody. You want to know more and more and more about them, right? So even it makes sense that that line, it's not just that that line hints to something, or that knowing Hashem is, you know, is some kind of just general responsibility, but it's meaningful in the context of that line. This is how you're going to get to know me. This is part of the relationship I look forward to. And then you said something that somebody said.
Well, two things I would add.
Yeah.
Number one is study of Torah is getting to know. In other words, I want to
Yeah.
know how God thinks, so to speak.
Yes, the
So when
Torah
we
is
study,
God's
we don't
word.
just study the conclusions, what to do, what not to do. We try
Yes.
and see how it derives and how it's applied and all the
Right.
ins and outs. Because and I want to read everything that he said, everything that was inspired by what he said, everyone he spoke to. It's like getting the, but what we mentioned before, Moshe Shapiro, Ramosha used to say that his understanding of the 13 principles of faith, Maimonides' 13 principles, he says what they are the minimum ideas that you need to know about God in order to have a relationship. If the person I'm speaking to, if I believe that they're an alien, right, and they go home and they pull off their mask and there's a horrific reptilian face behind, right? I can't have a normal relationship. I can only have a normal relationship if I know certain truths about you and have denied untruths about you. He says that's what it boils down to, is a relationship.
Nice.
So, okay. Thank you, everyone, for your continued viewership, listenership, listening.
And I want to personally apologize that the Tu B'Shvat one came out after Tu B'Shvat. We initially, it's has nothing to do with Rabbi Becher. This was from my, I have people. We both have our people. So on my people's side, there was an assumption that people in Chutz La'aretz kept 2 days of Tu B'Shvat. And that's why it was put out the next day. That was a mistake. Nobody keeps 2 days of Tu B'Shvat. And that was made clear to us
Be on the apology
afterwards, but it
reel,
was a mistake.
Achilles in the pillory. But anyway, I want to thank everyone for watches. Please share, like, share, distribute. You can multiple options of sharing. Sharing is caring,
Yes,
as we
it
know,
is.
it is.
Right. Yes, it is.
So it's been real, and God willing, we'll see you all next
In a
time.
few weeks.